Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to MTS Center, where the Winnipeg Jets have just defeated the Colorado Avalanche by a 5-1 margin. Welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, normally joined by Richard Pollock, but he's away this evening. Michael Remus is also on one of the headsets. Michael, good evening.
Good evening, Drew. I'm happy to be here.
That's good. I'm glad that you're happy to be here. Otherwise, it'd be depressing if you were here and weren't happy to be here. Anyways, Winnipeg Jets. Really, the icing on on a terrific weekend for the Winnipeg Jets. It started Thursday night in Minneapolis, where they defeated the Minnesota Wild. It continued Friday with that big home win over the Boston Bruins. And then they played scoreboard watching Saturday, and they had to hope for the Toronto Maple Leafs to lose, and they had to hope for the Washington Capitals to lose, which both teams fulfilled the Jets' desires by doing so. And then the Jets had to come out on home ice and match the momentum that they had from Friday night, and they did tonight with a 5-1 victory over the Colorado Avalanche. Probably the Jets' one of the most dominating wins for the Jets this year. Other one that comes to mind is the 4-0 victory over the Montreal Canadiens back in December. But this was a game that the Winnipeg Jets simply outplayed their opponent, really for the last 40 minutes. The first 20, after the first period ended in a scoreless tie, the first 20 minutes, both teams sort of felt each other out, tried to get a feel for the game, and then the beginning at the second period, the Jets really took over from that point on.
You know, Drew, the one thing, you compared this to the Montreal game, and the Montreal game, that was a game where, you know, the Jets won 4-0 in impressive fashion, but that was a game where Montreal, you know, gave away the game. This was a game where the Jets, like, considerably outplayed their opponent. After the second period, it was this game, you know, there wasn't much doubt of what the outcome would be.
Reasonable point by you, yeah. Montreal wasn't in that game at all. They mentally had checked out. Colorado was in this game, and certainly with a scoreless tie after 20 minutes, it could have been anybody's game. The Jets opened the scoring at the 1:45 mark of the second period. Evander Kane, the Jets' best player, with a backhand from behind the net. He had taken the puck in the right corner, sort of went behind the net, wheeled in front, and then on his backhands from about the hash marks, maybe a little bit in front of the hash marks, whipped a backhand over the shoulder of Avalanche goaltender Semyon Varlamov, made it a 1-0 Jets lead. Assists on the play to Alex Burmistrov and Kyle Wellwood.
You know, I really like that play from Kane. You know, the past few games, he might have tried a wraparound there, but he took the puck, you know, to the top of the circle and launched a backhand. And we really haven't seen Kane use his backhand much this year. Most of his goals were he'll, you know, snipe or on the forehand. He's got
sure.
A very quick release, surprised Varley, and 1-0 Jets.
Yeah, certainly a lot of traffic in front of the net there. Wellwood really was clogging up, getting in Barlamov's way, so that certainly helped in that. Jets made it 2-0 just under 2 minutes later at the 3:30 mark of the second period. Brian Little, his 17th of the year, assist to Andrew Ladd and Blake Wheeler. You'll hear the name Blake Wheeler a lot as we go through this game. He had 4 assists, career high for him. That goal was Brian Little. The Jets gained the zone, sort of a, not a shot in front of the net, but it's sort of the puck got deflected in front. Eric Johnson of the St. Louis Blues, a blind pass behind his back, really should have just dumped it into the corner. Instead, he put it right onto the stick of Brian Little. Wide open net for Little to shoot at. Hit the back of the net, no doubt about it. 2-0 Jets. Really, Eric Johnson, it's a goal. It turned out to be the game-winning goal. And Eric Johnson's been in the league for long enough to know he can't just blindly put a puck in front of his own net.
And, you know, this goal, if the crowd wasn't into it already, you know, scoring 2 goals in 2 minutes, really, you know, the atmosphere tonight was just electric the whole evening. And just, you know, set the stage for, you know, a scoring barrage by the Jets.
The Avalanche got their only goal of the game at the 10:42 mark of the second period. Gabriel Landeskog on the power play. Gabriel Landeskog was by far and away the best Avalanche player on the night. He's just a truck on the ice, and the future is very bright for them with him on the roster. Gabriel Landeskog on the left circle snapped a shot past Andre Pavlik, short side, he beats Andre Pavlik, makes it a 2-1 game. Just a very nice shot by a guy who's going to develop into a tremendous goal scorer in the NHL. His 15th of the year, assists to Eric Johnson on that play.
Yeah, Landeskog was the Avalanche, you know, top 10 pick of the most recent draft. Obviously impressed everyone in the building tonight, was by far their best player, as you said. You know, that was when, maybe you'd like to see Pavlich grab that one, but it was, you know, a great shot from a guy who was having a great game.
Comes out, the pass comes sort of from behind the net. You know, Pavlich sort of got to play it. He's moving away from the near post, and it takes a goal scorer. Only a goal scorer can pick the shot, pick the corner like he did there. You know, Pavlich's coming out to challenge, and that's just a good shot. You can't really blame him, especially Andre Pavlich. Just another tremendous performance by him for the Winnipeg for the Jets goaltender. Let me see how many saves. I mean, he had over 30 saves on the game for the Jets. Where are the shots here? I'll find them in a second. Shots against, 32 shots against, so 31 out of 32 saves for Andre Pavlich. He was the second star tonight, and for good reason. Numerous glove saves, you know, in close from outside. Just, you know, played the solid goaltending that Pavlich has given the Jets most every night so far this season. Jets finished off the scoring in the second period. They responded to the Avalanche goal 40 seconds later at the 11:28 mark of the second period. Kyle Wellwood with his 12th on the year from Evander Kane and Blake Wheeler. What happened was the Jets gained the zone on a 3-on-2. Evander Kane from sort of the top of the between the two faceoff circles wired a wrist shot over the net. Clearly missed the net, not even close. Off the glass, it bounces to Kyle Wellwood, who's who grabs the puck sort of just behind the goal line, pulls it off of his backhand to his forehand and stuffs it behind Semyon Varlamov, who's moving from the right side of the crease to the left side. Just a bang-bang play. Again, Kyle Wellwood demonstrating his very soft hands, the best attribute that he brings to the Winnipeg Jets. That's his nose for the goal, as a word, as the expression goes, and that was just a terrific demonstration of that.
You know, it was a really lucky play, as Kane had probably, you know, a terrible shot.
Yeah, it wasn't even close.
It wasn't even close, but got a lucky bounce. And then, you know, that was, you know, I think two goals for the Jets tonight were, they were behind the net, where Varlamov was trying to move left to right.
Yeah.
And they catch him. Maybe he, there, I think he was occupied with Wheeler in front and really had trouble tracking the puck behind the net. I think on that goal and Ladd's power play goal, was the puck started from behind the net, came to the front, and Varlamov just couldn't go post to post.
That's exactly right. And that's where he did he was not very quick going from post to post. That's exactly right. And you mentioned Andrew Ladd's goal. He opened the scoring, really put the game away at the 5-minute, 40-second mark of the third period. A power play goal by Andrew Ladd, his 17th of the year. Assist to Blake Wheeler. Again, that's his third of four assists on the night. And Dustin Byfuglien had the second assist in that one. Wheeler behind the net passes it in front to Andrew Ladd. Andrew Ladd takes a quick shot, deflects off of Varlamov's shoulder. He gets a piece of it, but not enough. Goes right in under the crossbar. 4-1 at that point in time, and it was pretty much smooth sailing for the Winnipeg Jets from then on.
No, I think that was the Jets, you know, about fourth power play tonight, I think, of the night so far. And really their power play, you know, coming into the game, they had scored two goals in 12 games on the power play. Really looked, you know, they had a 4-minute double minor in the first period where they really couldn't get anything going. I don't think they really had any power play shots. And it was good, you know, the game was put away, but it was good for them to finally get a power play goal and break that streak.
Very true. And indeed, you mentioned that 4-minute power play. They had a 4-minute power play really to end the first period. Paul Stastny took a 4-minute double minor for Heistick and Chris Thorburn. Jets, it was anemic on the power play at that point. I don't even think they had a shot on goal in that 4-minute power play. But like you said, a good opportunity for the Jets. Andrew Ladd sort of gets him off a bit off the schneid, as it were, in terms of a power play goal. Hadn't had a 5-on-4 power play since before the Washington game, because I mean that's how long ago it was, really, not counting Dustin Byfuglien's goal from center ice. But it had been a long time for the Jets to capitalize on a 5-on-4 power play. They did it at that point, made it 4-1, and like I said, smooth sailing from then on. The Jets weren't done. Brian Little had his second of the game, his 18th of the year, at the 15:41 mark of the third period. Another power play goal, assist to Blake Wheeler, his fourth of the game, and Dustin Byfuglien. Point shot from Byfuglien. Wheeler's right in front of the net, sort of, you know, he tries to jam it in, sort of, you know, gets his stick tied up, goes onto Brian Little's stick, he puts it into the open cage. You know, just a simple execution on the power play, shot on goal, get the shot all the way through to the net, scramble it up, put it in the back of the cage.
Blake Wheeler is just a second game in a row where he's the first star. You know, he's having a career season. His four assists gave him 46 points on the year, passing his career high of 45.
Yeah.
So he, you know, he's got the hands, and Blake Wheeler, I'm excited to see what he's going to do in the years to come. And, you know, Little has 18th of the year and Ladd 17th. So those two guys closing in on 20 goals. And Kane, his goal tonight brought him up to 22. So, you know, Little and Wheeler, you know, got off to slow starts this season, but in the last few games are really coming on.
Absolutely. Andrew Ladd, that was his first goal in 12 games. He had been really struggling, so let's see if that gives him some momentum to score a few more to wrap up the, you know, as we get into the last 20 or so games of the NHL season. Big win for the Jets. They had to take care of business against an inferior opponent on home ice. They did so by that 5-1 margin. With the win, they leapfrogged the Washington Capitals. They're now tied for 8th with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Granted, the Maple Leafs have, I believe it's 2 games in hand on the Jets.
I think the Washington might have played.
And Washington has 3 games in hand on the Jets. Also of note for Jets fans, if it comes down to tiebreaker, it is regulation wins, which the Jets are 1 regulation win behind the Toronto Maple Leafs. So the Jets need wins going forward as they, you know, continue this homestand, but they need clean wins, as it were, regulation wins to really make sure that they overtake the Toronto Maple Leafs. The opportunity is there for Winnipeg Jets fans. They move to a point behind the Florida Panthers. The Panthers have 3 games in hand for the Southeast Division lead. Looking at the schedules for the Jets opponents, the Leafs have a very difficult schedule to wrap up the month of February. They have a game against the San Jose Sharks. They have a game against the Chicago Blackhawks. They have a game against the surging Anaheim Ducks. You look at the Panthers' schedule, relatively easy, nothing too difficult, which is, I guess, part of playing in the Southeast Division. You look at the game that's going to be take place at MTS Center between the Panthers and the Jets coming up in a... I believe it's not next week, but the week after. That's going to be a key game for the Winnipeg Jets. They've put themselves back in the race after a poor January, and with now, you know, 6 more games to go on this homestand, this is real. Like we've said, this is going to, if they keep it going, this is going to be a key. It's going to give them a key opportunity to make a run at that either the Southeast Division crown or the 8th and final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference.
You know, this win, especially in this last few games, are real encouraging for the Jets. I would say, you know, maybe an exception to January, they're playing their best hockey right now. And if you want to play your best hockey, it's got to be at the end of the season. They're, you know, maybe the odds aren't on their side, but they have a real opportunity here to make a run, especially if you're playing your best hockey at the end of the year.
They don't have a difficult schedule ahead of them. They really don't. I mean, they play Tuesday night against the Philadelphia Flyers on home ice, a team they've had great success against. They're undefeated against the Flyers so far this year. So that's a 6 o'clock start, a rare 6 o'clock start on Tuesday night against the Philadelphia Flyers. Thursday, they have the Tampa Bay Lightning, who have put up a for sale sign. Saturday against the St. Louis Blues, a Blues team that is not very good away from St. Louis on the road. They're below 500. Then they have the Buffalo Sabres. They have the Edmonton Oilers to wrap up the homestand. And they also have the, on the trade deadline day, February 27th, they have the Edmonton Oilers. And they have that Panthers game, I believe that's February, doing some quick math in my head. I believe that would be February 23rd, a Thursday night against the Panthers. That's the biggest game of all on this homestand for the Winnipeg Jets.
You know, looking at the Jets' schedule, it's pretty favorable. We did our little analysis before. I think we had Jets winning a few of these games, an exception to...
Well, we didn't have them winning the Boston game.
Yeah.
And they went ahead and took care of business. But then again, we did have them winning the Islanders game. So, again, that Islanders game is a big loss. But if they can keep it going and really take care of business, you know, win 5 of the next 6 or so on home ice as they finish this second longest homestand of the year, it's going to be big for them going forward to see if they're going to be able to make that stretch run into the final playoff spot. That's it for this night, Sunday night, from the MTS Center. The Jets have defeated the Colorado Avalanche by a 5-1 margin. Stay tuned for post-game audio from both the Avs and the Jets dressing room. For Michael Remus, I'm Drew Mindell. Stay tuned for more audio from the MTS Center.
It was 2 points, you know, in the positive direction. But I think we were a little sloppy, to be honest. You know, I think we dodged some bullets and... Pavel was the best player on the ice tonight. There was no question about that. So we need to be better than that. I think we were fortunate. We got some good bounces. They didn't get some good bounces. And like I said, Pavel bailed us out. So it's 2 points. We're going to be happy with that. And we're scoring some goals. That's a good thing. But, you know, when we get some more of these tight games, we got to be a little bit better in some of these little areas where we're turning pucks over and giving chances up.
I asked you last game if you were feeling it. Are you still feeling it? You were cautious not to get too overconfident, but you're obviously playing at the top of your game right now.
Well, I'm not scoring. I'm just kidding. But you know, I think our whole line's playing really well. I think right when we were put together after the All-Star break, you know, we made a conscious effort to try to make this thing work, similar to how we did last year in Atlanta. And, you know, I think we're going really well right now. We're trying to win puck battles and keep things simple, and it's turning into some good chances for us, and it's translated into some big goals for our line.
You matched your career high for points with yourself with 45 tonight. How does that feel?
I really am not very wrapped up in the individual statistic thing, man. You know, we're right on the bubble here of making the playoffs, and not only for this being a first year thing for this city, but for this organization to be right in the mix with 20 games left is a huge stepping stone. And you know, I've had experience, you know, with these playoff runs and having to kind of battle to the very end to get into the playoffs. And I'm telling you, if you end up getting in the tournament, playing a lot of these close games like we're playing right now, and you've had success in them, and you find your way into that eight team tournament, you know, anything can happen. So that's the goal right now. It's obviously great to contribute to wins, but, you know, we're trucking along here, and if we can do good on this homestand, it's going to be huge for our team.
Had some chances lately, and seemed like forever, but hopefully it's the first of a lot more to come.
Talk to us about the game.
Oh, it was good. I thought our start was good. Our first period was good. Second, we kind of got away from our game a little bit, took you know, a few too many penalties, and that got us in a little bit of trouble, but got some timely goals, and you know, we were able to hold them off.
Are you feeling a difference in the
Well, I mean, obviously it was nice to get a couple of power play goals. We need to get that going, especially for the stretch here. It's such a key part of, you know, any hockey game and special teams, and it's going to be something that we need to get in the playoffs. So it was nice to have that going in the third.
Andrew, you play with Pavlik tonight?
He's been great all year. I think we've come to expect that from him every night, and you know, for us to make a drive here and get in the playoffs, he's gonna have to be that good every night, and you know, we know he's capable of it. He's shown it all year, and you know, we have no doubts he'll be there.
Andrew, your game is so much more than scoring, but it looked like a weight was lifted when you did pot one, and even Wheeler looked at you like saying, "Hey, join the party."
Yeah, it was. You know, I think obviously, like you said, I still think I bring a lot to the table, and you know, I think I probably got away from that for a little bit and wasn't really happy with my game, and you know, I've been really happy with my game last, you know, cut 2-3 games, and thought it would, you know, would come after that. So it was nice to finally get it, and you know, big sigh of relief.
Wheeler's now tied a career high in points. He doesn't want to talk about it. I'd rather talk about the playoffs, but it's one of the reasons you guys are knocking on the door.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, he's stepped up this year. He wants to, you know, to be a leader and for us, and be a go-to guy, and he's done that. I think every time that he has the puck, he's dangerous. You know, his speed is evident every night, and you know, like I said, you know, last week, our top guy is going to be our top guys, and we need that from him every night.
Is the key to maintaining this now for you guys, 3-0?
I think just not getting complacent and feeling satisfied with where we're at. I think we got to keep pushing. You know, there's still little things that we can get better at. So I think that's the biggest thing. We'll come to work tomorrow. We got to have a good practice and get ready for our next one.
You know, after first period, it was kind of slow period. A lot of turnovers on both sides, but they had some power plays in the second. And again, I think that the guys let me see the puck very well. And every time I made a rebound, they cleaned the crease. You know, we survived in the second, and we were good in the third, and scored some goals in the power play, and I got 2 points.
You guys faced adversity. Do you feel like, how good does this feel right now, 3 in a row, after going through what you guys did the last couple weeks?
Well, I feel pretty good. I mean, every time you win the game, it feels pretty good, but we know it's we have to keep working hard, and like I said, next 2 weeks is going to be really important to us, you know, we have to work on a lot of things and be ready next time. But like I said, three times in a row we find a way to win, and end of the day it's about the point. So really happy we got this win against a really good team. They can score the goals, and we shut them down.
With this homestand, are you thinking back to December at all and how successful you were there, and maybe thinking that you might be able to do that again?
I think we feel pretty comfortable in this building, and the fans are unbelievable in every game, and you know, we try to play hard as we can here in this building, and that's they deserve it. And then, yeah, we know we were good in December, but this month is a different month. It doesn't matter what you did. It's gonna be about what we gonna do, and how we gonna be ready for next month. And and we need a win. We need a point, and that's all about.
Can you talk a little bit about the adjustment from a slower first period to a very busy second?
Yeah, well, yeah, first period, like I said, it was kind of slow period. It was a lot of turnovers on both sides and not too many shots, and we went to second, and I think we had a pretty good start in the second, but then we made some penalties, and we put them on the power play, and they got pretty good guys who can score the goals and who can shoot the puck. So they had a lot of shots. They had a lot of shots from power play, and but I think 5-on-5 we were good first and the third period, but in the second we spent a lot of times in our zone, and it's something we have to work on it.
What's it feel like to make a glove save and also the crowd reacting almost after every single one you do?
Oh, well, you play hockey for fans, right? That's, I just try to stop the puck, doesn't matter how, and which is when they hit your glove, yeah, it's fun. But for me, it's another save in the game, and I always focus for next one, and it doesn't matter how you made the save.